Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I may conga at the club, but I'll never stoop to your level.
I may have hurt my back, but trust and believe I'll hurt your feelings harder.
That was fun. They were kind of themed, which I'm into. You guys, I'm feeling very sultry and sexy and sex phone operator.
You sound sensual.
Thank you.
Are you good at phone sex?
No. I'm also one of those people. I have done like a little texting stuff, but I don't believe in like sending any kind of photo that could ever be. So I would do like, here's my dress on the ground. Like I would Damien's headphones just fell off. I really would. I would like be like, oh my God,
it's just like there couldn't be, it could not. I thought you were going to be like, I would send a picture of like my one breast, but no. You were like my shirt, my skirt. Also, like it would never be on the floor. It would be like hung on a hanger. Be like, I just took this off.
No, I literally have done that. Dress, I've literally done that. And then I get like a dick and I'm like, this is not the same. You guys, it's these girls, I guess, just choked onto grapefruit spindrift. It's episode 345. Had a little bit of a couple days off. Mi madre was in town. So guys, thanks for your patience with this episode being recorded IRL in the clofus, first day of fall, because I Googled when is fall and found out it was today. And guys, I have fallen in love with this guest co-host since the day we first recorded AG 1836 years ago. You know him as a producer, a writer, a Bravoholic, a podcaster whose new season of You Might Know Her From premiered this week with a certain Emmy winner we know as Cheryl Lee Ralph. Welcome back to the Clawfest and the people's couch, Damien Valino. Damien, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to be here and in person at that. Thank you for the lovely intro. I'm really excited to talk about Housewives.
Damien, I actually think I could cry right now. I'm so excited to record with you. We're in person. We're in person.
We've done at least one, maybe two Zooms since I've last seen you recording, but we did record once. Salt Lake was still on. We were drunk on champagne. It's maybe one of the only times I've ever seen you.
Drunk?
We'll say tipsy.
A little tipsy, girl. The next time you come, because you're going to come record soon. I can feel it. I'm already scheduling in my head when you're coming next because there's so much for us to discuss. But we will have champs because remember back in the day, we used to record Tipsy Girl episodes where we would pretend to have recipes for the Manzottini. So it would be like an Aperol Spritz orange in honor of Her Holiness Caroline Manzo, my future mother-in-law, my current spiritual mother-in-law, thinking about Chris Manzo. But we used to get a little drunk and a little yelly, which was great.
And now we are sober, but still get a little yelly maybe.
Yeah, now we're, because it's the morning time. It's literally noon, which is 4 a.m. Eastern Standard. Damien, how are you? Happy first day of fall and second week of a good, solid Beverly Hills ep. Things to celebrate.
Things to celebrate. I'm good. I've just returned from pretty much a whole week in Fire Island.
Oh, my God.
It was like a closing out of the season type of weekend, so it was really nice. And so I've lost my voice a little bit. But it was all good. And now I'm happy to be in the crisp weather wearing a sweatshirt that someone left in my house.
Oh, my God. Ooh, who left it in your house?
I mean, one of my housemates, not like a dalliance.
Wait, but your housemate is your dog.
Not in the Fire Island.
I thought you meant in your apartment. I was like, what's happening?
No. This is a shirt from one Seth Plattner. So I'm excited. I do agree that the last two episodes of Beverly Hills at the time of this recording have been excellent. And I just wish that like the whole season sort of like had started more recently. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because I feel like it's a lot of lead up and it feels like the season really hasn't started until Kathy's joined back because they've been planting so much between Kathy and Kyle. We've also get to see like the women and I think that they have grown tired of Kathy's sort of persona. And maybe that's because we knew those of us that like are really plugged into Housewives content and memes and like the social accounts and the podcast and all of those things knew about this Aspen fight. But like, I feel like what is pre-Aspen? You know what I mean? Like what was the season pre-Aspen?
I was thinking about this and I don't.
Sutton carrying everything.
Right. And saying terrible things about Crystal. I don't mean to be like dumb. It just comes to me naturally. Was the beginning of this season Dorit's break-in? Is this still this season? I was thinking about that before you arrived and thinking like there's no way that's possible because that feels like literal years ago. That feels so long ago.
Yeah, it was the break-in and then it was Sutton and Diana's like miscarriage fight and which feels weird to even. It was the Sutton said something dark in Mexico. Like a lot of
very
stuff
dark and problematic.
A lot of stuff happened that feels like non-starters. I hope that however this Aspen to reunion like pipeline works, that it's also not a letdown. Like, I hope that we feel satisfied that there's payoff.
Well, part of the problem to me is that there are so many rumors and allegations, many of which are being spread by the cast that are online, that I feel exhausted thinking about the reunion. But I'm also hopeful, based on nothing, that some of this isn't true. I.e., the single most upsetting thing to me is that allegedly, and I don't know if this is true, and I believe that it's not true, but and this is not necessarily a big deal, but to some people, but it is very much a big deal to me, that allegedly the cast, who are normally given, I think, in A Tale as Old as Time, screeners of the full season, even if it's the night before, 2 days before, so that they can prep accordingly for the reunion, allegedly didn't receive the last three episodes and are maybe just going to be shown clips or something. I don't think that there's any way in hell that that's true, aka it could be true.
Yeah, I also saw that. I mean, I generally am a person when it comes to gossip who thinks like where there's smoke, there is fire. Mm. But, you know, it could be really taken out of context. I mean, we also read a rumor one season that the downfall of Phaedra, we had heard that like it came out that Portia slept with Apollo.
And do you remember
and
that?
We both were like so gooped, and then it never happened. And like, I don't know where that came from and if something happened that wasn't shown that like suggested that, but like nothing that we were shown suggested that
at all. A random rumor that everybody started talking about in the lead up to the 4-part Atlanta reunion, which made a lot of us think that something incredibly explosive was going to be revealed. And like, sure, something like terrible and terribly surprising was revealed, but it was not anywhere close to what we thought.
Right. It was that Phaedra had started the rumor, which was not a surprise to many people. It was like, oh, right. Of course, because who else would have started it? And she, yeah. I feel like I've read a lot of rumors about the reunion, and I don't love spoilers, but sometimes that's like I can't help myself, especially with Housewives, because I feel like it happened. It's not like a scripted series. It's like it happened already. So it's just like me. I don't know. I don't know why, but I can justify it somehow with reality shows. And so I am curious to know what is true. Like, did they really – is it because they're still editing the episode? Is it because they're still trying to figure out how to piece – together, Bravo and Cocktails, which you got me like hooked on.
Oh, shout out Bravo and Cocktails.
So they posted that like in their next episode of their podcast, they're going to talk about like, because people are saying, why didn't Lisa Rinna, if she was in the car with Kathy, like obviously many are suggesting or positing that it was a calculated move for her to go home with Kathy, drunk Kathy.
That it was angry. A calculated move on behalf of Rinna being
being like, I'll go home because like she's having a meltdown and this is like maybe my way to whatever, make something happen.
Yeah.
But people are saying like, why didn't she record anything on her cell phone? Why didn't she like record a voice note? Like, why is there nothing? Like, why was there no camera in the Sprinter van? Like, even if production had shut down because they went into an after hours club that wouldn't let them come, like, why didn't Rinna?
Oh, that's what it was.
Why didn't Rinna shoot something on her phone so that they could have audio or whatever?
Blair Bitch Project.
And Bravo and Cocktail said, like, we talk about this on the newest episode, like, why there's no recording. And so I want to know, like, is there going to be something? Is there not going to be something? Like, did Rinna shoot something? Is it because Bravo is catering to Kathy Hilton and therefore whatever was recorded will not be included? And that's what Rinna, I know she has been spiraling. I mean, I am interested in the dynamics. And I'm jumping all around here, but
I love it.
Erica in her little like paper moon sun hat in the billiard room or whatever was like, Rinna is scared to go after Kathy. And like, I think that's a valid thing. Like, I'm into talking about the idea of coming for the Hilton family and how that's a losing battle. I do think that Bravo is invested in Kathy because people like her better than they like Rinna. Like, that's just, that is. But I don't know. I mean, we've seen a lot of great women, like, I'm sorry, like a lot of fan favorites, like crumble, not like crumble to the fans, but we've seen them look bad, right? Or am I wrong?
No, it's the second season curse. It applies to Friends of.
I guess I'm just trying to think of like, you know, was Bethany protected in those early seasons or whatever? Or like, was Nene protected in her early seasons? Like, the show eventually turned on Nene. It eventually turned on Lisa Vanderpump. It's turned on Teresa. I guess it's turned on Bethany. She looked like a total asshole the later seasons, even if she was like the richest and most famous, you know? So like, is Kathy Hilton?
Teresa.
Yeah, Teresa, I mean, the show is certainly not invested in making Teresa only look good. I do think that some people are recently Dr. Wendy was on something and said how, I can't remember who, I'm sorry, but she said something about that there was stuff about Giselle at the Potomac reunion that was like left on the cutting room floor, and that like, I think it was Danny Pellegrino, and he was like, can you tell me what was said? And she was like, no, because Candace brings it up again this season. So like, if it doesn't come out again this season, then I'll think that she was being protected. And I do feel like the show has the network, the production companies, they have a vested interest in certain people who they know are fan favorites, a pleasure to work with, like bring it every season. And other people, I think that they are okay with them. I don't know. I'm sure there's some expression, like some other people, like, you know, throwing themselves out to dry, you know, like, I don't know that they're that worried about Lisa Rinna at this point. I think there was a time and place though, where that she was also an asset because she showed up and she was willing to do the thing. I don't know that Kathy's like showing up and doing the thing, but I think that her kookiness and her money add credibility to the show in a way that nobody else is. Like, nobody else is comic relief, really, and nobody else has the wealth that she does. No matter what, whatever Rinna was like, Kyle is more successful, richer, like, more. She said more successful and more famous than Kathy Hilton is. And I was like, I think that's not true. Like, in a subset of the world, she is more famous. She's certainly, like, a successful reality star and has parlayed that into a lot. But the idea that, like, Kathy Hilton is, like, not Kathy Hilton to me is weird. Rinna is such a fucking flip-flopper, though, because she was so willing to be like, Kathy's got money, last year when it was caviar pie, and talking, like, if she didn't look so thirsty and advantageous, I would be more on her side. I meant into her bringing it up, though, because it's making the season good.
I mean, you're bringing up so many good questions. When it gets into what is a person's value, I mean, the value is based on what? Typically, it's based on the measurement of being inside the Housewives universe, which is what Rinna is trying to apply. Like, everyone else in the cast is still insisting that Kyle has center diamond energy, and that's not necessarily meeting up with the execution of Kyle's behavior on the show and maybe also her personality. And yet we're still applying that metric because Kyle is an OG. Kyle has found enormous success, as Mauricio has, in the investment of going on this show 800 years ago, which is what Rinna is trying to calculate. But in the world, Hilton is big. Peacock has a big investment in Hilton because of Paris in Love. There are ways that you can look at who's more important, the full-time cast member or the friend of, that doesn't necessarily meet in reality. I mean, Kathy saying that she made Kyle, to me, is kind of factually correct. Kyle made a name for herself for many years by being the spokesperson for her nieces and going on all those shows that I was obsessed with watching on VH1, on E, when they needed someone to go on and speak on behalf of, you know, growing up Paris, growing up Nikki, whatever it was. Kyle was that person. So there's element of truth there.
Kim and Kyle's credibility that they offered Beverly Hills, because it was like, what the fuck is his name? Not Spencer Grammer. She went to college with me.
Oh, hey, shout out Spencer.
What is her dad's name?
Whose dad?
Spencer Grammer.
Kelsey?
Yes, thank you. Housewives of Beverly Hills, though, when it first came on, it was like, you have Maloof money, you have Kelsey Grammer's, like, wife, and then you have these, like, former child star and one former child actor who are the sisters to Kathy Hilton and the aunts to Paris and Nikki. Like, that is what their credibility is now.
And their value.
It's
two different things.
It's what sets the show as having cred, as having real women from Beverly Hills.
Right.
And then also, yeah, it's like what also makes them valuable. Getting cameos from Paris like once or twice, getting cameos from Kathy, and like also just getting to see like their proximity to that. So now 13 years later, however many years, we have Kathy on the show. Like, I don't know. It's also just more interesting. Like, if the women of that particular group, like Kyle's friend clique within the group, weren't so like gridlocked in terms of like making stuff happen between them, I don't know that we would all feel so protective of Kathy. But like, we're watching yet again Rinna and Erica, and maybe by proxy, I think Kyle in some ways, come for somebody who's not within that group, you know? And it's like, I'm sick and tired of that. It's boring. It's like Kathy maybe said like faggot and that's never going to make it to air because that's like a bit. Sorry, Sarah just flinched. I can say that. But like I've heard that she maybe said some really bad things. I don't know if we will ever hear about that. And like, I don't know. Like part of me is, of course, that like it matters. But also Lisa Rinna is like so invested in taking down someone because she wants to keep her job and is so not willing to like talk about her best friend and her legal problems or like talking about whatever. Like, let's talk about Dorit's money. Let's talk about like Kyle and or Dorit and fucking Mauricio having an affair on the show. Like, let's talk about that rumor and where it sparked. You know, like that would be the tea. If Lisa Rinna sat down with Garcelle and said, girl, I just read on, I'm having like the worst problem with words. Redbubble, that's not what it's called. What is the place that released?
Reddit?
No, what is this that Lisa Vanderpump allegedly released?
Radar?
Radar.
Did you buy a t-shirt?
Redbubble online, I'm going to buy a t-shirt. But you know, if like Rinna sat down with one of those women and was like, they're saying that Dorit is having an affair with Mauricio. Can you imagine what we would be watching? I don't even believe that that's true necessarily, but I would gag if Rinna turned on Kyle and just talked about that on camera, turned on Kyle and Dorit. They're not doing that. So like now they're coming for weird Aunt Kathy, who I'm sure is a terrible person because we all are.
We're all bad people. Varying degrees.
We're all multifaceted. And like the moral, what is the moral compass? Lisa Rinna?
LOL.
LOL. She tried to choke Kathy's sister one year and said, come for my husband, and broke a glass in her face at a restaurant.
And said Kim was going to die any day.
Cool. And so like that is what is the LOL, I think, to me, is that we're trying to argue that like this behavior from Kathy is worse. Also, and I know you've talked about this a bit, or not a bit, a lot, in the most recent episode on the Patreon, I think, and then also your most recent regular episode, but, like, about this is family, and, like, I have 5 siblings, and, like, Kathy is, I think, a bit older than Kyle, like, significantly, you know, so, like, she maybe is, like, 10, 11, 12 years older than Kyle. I mean, I have siblings that, like, that much older, like, we still have their stuff, you know, it's, like, the stuff is, I feel very close with my siblings. We don't fight a lot, but I do feel sometimes when I'm with them that like I am 13 and they are 21, you know, and like our dynamics are still that where like they view me as a young person and that like I'm the only one who doesn't live in the state and I am the only one who like doesn't live 15 minutes from our mom. Like all of these things that like, but I am still treated like a child, idiot, you know? So I don't doubt that there is knowing the mythology around Big Kathy and the ways in which she made the three of them hustle, the ways in which like Kim like basically provided for the family for a long time, the way that she allegedly groomed the three of them to find rich men to marry, and that Kathy and Kyle obviously both succeeded in that.
And
part.
Kim for a Kim certain
did
period
for
of time.
A certain period as well. Yeah. Like I know that there's probably a lot of everyone. We all have trauma. We all have families. Maybe, you know, it's like I just feel like it's the idea of taking that stuff. I don't know that I'm even mad at for Lisa Rinna taking it. I think I'm just mad at, like, the idea that it's so preposterous, you know?
Yeah, I mean, my God, Damien, I feel like this episode I feel at like 1,000. I'm so into it. You're making so many great points, and I'm just trying to remember in my head.
Please interrupt me. I'm sorry. I can't.
No, you're a circuit party. And I'm on my third and a half caffeinated tea, so I'm, like, literally losing my mind. I'm absolutely mid-spiral. But I think there are two things that I would love to respond to. One is the idea of conspiracy theories, which I want to circle back on. But first, you referenced a Patreon episode that went up this past weekend where I spent a literal hour focused solely on talking about the dynamics between the Richard sisters. And I got a lot of satchels, and guys, as you know, in the AG world, Satchels of Gold, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Cloran Ben Simone from Scary Island, are your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns that I typically receive on Instagram at Dame Galley throughout the week. And brevity is not my friend. I love getting 900-page Satchels of Gold. Do not apologize for sending me these long messages because I absolutely am obsessed with them. So I unpacked several responses and it was interesting to get responses from AGs with siblings reacting to the way that this narrative is being shown about whatever Kathy did. And I want to say that absolutely do I think something major happened 100%.
1,000%.
Am I able to illustrate or characterize when something goes from like a tantrum to an incident? I am not. Do I think she was feeling hot prior to them going to the Caribou Club? 1,000%. I think Kathy was feeling disrespected, annoyed, frustrated. You know, her leaving the hat party or whatever you would call it. The temperature had risen to a certain extent in the hours prior, which is when you kind of know that someone could potentially blow.
Yeah, I think that like they always talk about the trips because you're filming like 24 hours or whatever. You know, they're just filming a lot longer, I think, right, together. And they always talk about people breaking it. I think we saw it last season with Crystal. It was like her third or fourth day of filming.
Her second day of filming.
And she went on that trip and had like a terrible experience. And I think that we saw it with Diana. I'm not justifying her behavior, but I feel like there was almost like production talk when she said that Sutton was a see you next Tuesday. And then later the next day while they were snowmobiling, Sutton was like, I didn't do anything. And Erica was like, that wasn't about you. She was just exhausted and it had gotten to her. And Sutton was like, I didn't do anything. She was like, it wasn't you. And I think what she's saying is like, being on camera for 13 hours with seven people that are not your actual family or friends is exhausting. And so I think that Kathy was like, it's elevation. She felt fucking annoyed and frustrated, maybe by her sister, maybe by her coworkers, but also just like the production of it all. Like she was like, I don't want to play this game with Rinna.
Right. And also, speaking of games, I think that there is still an idea that many of us have that when we get older, we let things go. That has not been my experience. That's also not been my experience of like in conversation with my parents. My parents' personalities are very different. I've had extensive conversations with my father, for example, not speaking on his behalf, who has a lot of feelings about what was a very traumatic childhood. He carries that with him. I carry experiences that I have had from traumatic interactions, whatever, with me at spiritually mid-20s plus. People carry those interactions and roles with them into adulthood. It would be great to think that the child and sibling I was when I was 15 is very different from the way that I perform sisterhood at spiritually mid-20s plus. It would be wonderful to think that. That's not the reality. So when we talk about what happened, what Kathy did, the characterization that Lisa Rinna, who's trying to bury all of her bad behavior behind grief, is applying to Kathy, the idea that this is a woman, a grand woman of society. Sure, there are elements of that that I absolutely believe, how frustrating and confusing and scared Rinna may have been. I'm not going to take that away from her. But the idea that there are interactions between sisters that are toxic, the idea that that's insane because Kathy is a woman of society. Rinna knows better than anyone the way that the Richard sisters interact because she has manipulated it, exacerbated it, and to me preyed on that for a number of years. So like, and in those satchels that I unpacked on Patreon, I got messages from people who were like, I fight with my siblings like cats and dogs. I don't do that. I'm a different person. I react to volatile situations differently based on my own experiences. I'm not going to get into it. There have been a spare number of times that I have genuinely raised my voice to scream at a family member. It hasn't worked out for anybody in the end. So the idea that like for some people, having a drag out fight is normal. I'm not going to criticize that or look askew at that. It just hasn't necessarily been my experience. But the idea of performing roles because you're triggered in a moment or you don't feel appreciated, just sibling to sibling, makes a lot of sense to me, which is why this whole dynamic is kind of weird, because we've seen the ways that these sisters are dysfunctional. So the fact that this is being applied to the metric of Housewives, noting the permission slip that Rinna has signed for herself and the gaslighting that Rinna and Erica have done around Erica's shown poor behavior, is wild to me. It doesn't make sense.
I think that like bringing family dynamics to these shows, that I think we've learned this from like Caroline and Dina. You know, I
mean, oh my God, Caroline and Dina.
Yeah, I mean, I think like, even Melissa and Teresa are not sisters. Jacqueline and her sisters-in-law. You know, like We never saw the twins dynamic get rocky.
The fake cousins on Salt Lake who discover they were related at a cocktail party. And we're going to see them fall apart
I think that what happens is you put a magnifying glass over something that is, you know, I don't know that it's...
a mold.
It's a mold. And it's what is... It's what's...
It's a little bit toxic.
Yeah. I mean, listen, family relationships are complicated. But I think that what happens is you have somebody like Lisa Rinna trying to put a magnifying glass over it and say, like, this is fucked up. And then you get the court of public opinion or you get the viewers on. It makes Kyle feel seen, I think, to be – I think Kyle, the way that Rinna has always positioned this stuff with first Kim and now Kathy is, like, how awful you treat your sister, who's the star of the show and my friend. And I'm not saying that, like, it excuses Kathy's behavior. I'm certainly not saying it excuses Kim's behavior on the show. I'm just saying that, like, it makes Kyle feel seen, I think. And therefore, she's like, well, I'm not, like, I love my sister. This is what it is. But it's, you have other people saying, like, this is a fucked up way to talk to your sister. And then Kyle's just like, it is fucked up, but this is how it's always been. But, like, so she's resigning herself to her relationship with her sisters, but she's letting other people. She's not a person who is sticking up for her sisters in these situations. I'm sure there's examples where she stuck up for Kim, but it always felt like the gun was to her head at a reunion where she was like, okay, I'm coming back to my sister, but the whole season ran at this point, you know? And I'm not saying that she needed to. I'm not judging whatever her position is. It's just like Lisa Rinna is exploiting Kyle and Kyle's relationship to her sisters point blank.
And I think Kyle has the right to react to it. Like,
certainly.
Just because we're saying this is something that has existed seemingly since they were younger and still exists today, the tension between the three of them, the fact that there seems to always be someone on the outs, and we have witnessed, because we've been with Kyle longer in total, certainly than the other two, that Kyle has often found herself isolated or is reacting or feels the stress of, like, caregiver stuff or whatever else is going on. We have witnessed, you know, the idea or the narrative of instances of poor behavior between these women, but the way that it's being described now, it was maybe more frustrating to me with last week's episode, thinking ahead and thinking, Kyle, why are you allowing Rinna to do this? But then it gets into, this is a job. Mm-hmm. She's going to react to it. And she has the right to be upset. Like, I think I myself am going 10 steps ahead and thinking, like, Kyle, this is, not to be like, it's private, but, like, Kyle, you know this is complicated. Don't allow Rinna to make this into something that you know is going to fuck you up IRL. But also, this is the environment of the show. So, like, where do we, just in reacting to the show, draw the line between knowing that Rinna is being diabolical and manipulative, but also understanding that that's the role that Rinna has created for herself of, like, not talking about Harry Hamlin, not talking about the tension with her daughters that we know exists with at least one of them, like, not asking questions of Dorit, of, like, tabloid rumors, that not holding Erica accountable. Like, this is what she stirs shit. So, like, how do we find that line? Why are, like, we acknowledge that the line exists in our heads based on Rinna's history and the history of the Richard sisters, but, like, is that really fair to apply?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer is, like, it's fair game because it is story and because Kathy is getting paid to be there. It's not like she's a family member that showed up and they're, like, you know, squeezing the lemon so hard to get everything out of it because she's Kathy Hilton and it's like she didn't sign up for this. She signed up for it. So, yeah, it's fair game. But I think that Rinna is not a credible storyteller, and her pulling in Erica and Diana as her, like, cohorts is not adding credibility. You know, like, I feel like if Dorit, maybe she will end up on their side. It doesn't seem like it seems like it's positioned to the three of them splintering off to, like, take Kathy down based on the trailer.
Right.
Based on what we know.
Based on this week's episode, based Erica.
I'm not going to be the only one. Like, there's going to be somebody else.
Book, book. Rinna, book, book. Like, Like, I was like, what is she doing? And I was like, actually, I'm into it. But yeah,
I actually was into the chicken moment because Erica was like, which animal? You could see the wheels spinning.
But yeah, but like Diana and Erica as your sort of co-conspirators, it's like, I don't know, girl. I feel like you should have, like, I mean, I guess she felt like she needed to go with the people that she could trust, and she couldn't trust Dorit, and she certainly couldn't go to Kyle. And she knew that, like, Garcelle and Sutton had no invested interest in trying to take down Kathy Hilton. So I guess my question for you, based on all of this, is like, do you think, we know that Kathy comes to the reunion, do you think,
thank fucking God,
Kathy will return if there's the option to? And if so, do you think she'll be like, I'm going to be a full-time housewife? Because like, I already avoided, I tried to avoid like seeing you having to see other parts of me, but like, if they're going to try to make me a villain at the end of this season, then I'll come back full-time, put me in like the center adjacent to Kyle. I'll bring Paris. I'll bring a new friend who's just as rich as me because I asked them. You know what I mean? Like, is she going to feel activated to come back and clear her name the way that Camille, I feel like, did season two? Mm-hmm. Or is she going to be like, I said what I said at the reunion. I'm just going to disappear for a while.
So I thought she was maybe going to skedoodle. I was honestly surprised that she showed up to Crystal's birthday. I was like, oh, okay. Same. Like, there had to have been some sort of extensive conversation that happened.
You just signed a huge contract that we waited for 4 months for you to sign. So get to the party.
Yeah. And also knowing, you know, during the episode with Evan Real, he said that she was sending cease and desist to press outlets about what happened, which is like a whole other fucking conversation, because as you said, we heard different rumors that she had said something that was potentially said something that was homophobic to someone. At one point it was like, oh, to Sutton's assistant. Then Sutton's assistant said, no, I'm not.
And then it was like the old DJ, maybe.
Then there was like maybe a DJ or something. From the way that the women were telling the story, something happened at the Caribou Club, which, LOL, if you can't get in for not having a jacket and, like, Kathy might be throwing things against a wall. I don't know how that works for Kyle's membership. But, like, something started. She was upset. Possibly a conga line was involved. And then she went back into the Sprinter van, back to the house, and then it continued or exacerbated or whatever. I don't know how much of this is going to be, like, of what actually happened is going to be the focus of the reunion. I also don't know how much of this conspiracy theory, listen, conspiracies can be based in truth. The idea of, like, Kathy's influence and power relating to her relationship with, like, Bravo and Peacock, or her relationship as a Hilton with a lot of access and a lot of resources, how that plays into how they're going to describe what happens. But I thought that she wouldn't necessarily come back. And now I'm like, maybe she might, because while the universe of social media is a very specific bubble, a lot of people are defending her and are on her side based on what we heard and what we're watching, which makes me think that she could return, although I don't see her returning and being full time. I just don't see it. This is a lighter job potentially, although LOL for it being a light lift this season, but it's easier to kind of work around. There is more of an investment and a risk to being full time, seemingly, than being a friend of. I think that's a better fit for Kathy, and that is an easier risk to make to be a friend of. I do, though, want to acknowledge something that friend of the pod, Milk and Don't Call Me Honey, one of my favorite creators of art. We're looking at Not Bad for a Girl with No Talent, my favorite beloved Kim K print in the cloth. And I have other prints of his throughout my apartment, but he said something on Instagram stories that I was like, oh my God, I completely agree with this, even though I hadn't even seen the BH episode yet, which was, while I appreciate Lisa Rinna lying to create story from thin air, I am simultaneously annoyed by it. If she were a pro, she would record Kathy in that Sprinter van. So either she's a bad housewife or it didn't happen. Also, even if Kathy did all that, that's iconic. So no matter what, hashtag Team Kathy. Which is something that you also addressed at the beginning of this episode, the idea of, like, where's the video? And I just think, from the perspective of conspiracy theories, Rinna has discussed on social media conspiracy theories that she's trying to suggest or invent or pass along or communicate that, like, maybe a show producer was behind the bot attack against Garcelle's minor child, Jax, to deter attention away from whatever happens with Kathy and Aspen that's not shown. And I just think, from the perspective of, are you a good housewife, like, Rinna compared herself to LeBron James on Instagram stories this week. But I think, like, LeBron James always shows up to play. And Rinna not having anything and leaking rumors instead of evidence does not, to me, make a lot of sense for what she said happened. And regardless, noting that I do think something happened that was very explosive.
Totally.
And while I do think that Kathy said a lot of shit about Kyle and probably referenced Bravo and Peacock.
100%.
The idea that Kathy then went through a laundry list of the housewives and said shitty things, that's also entirely possible. But, like, the conspiracy theory here of why she is a moral wildebeest does not, to me, track with both Rinna's history as well as Rinna's investments, which make me think that there's an element here that, like, just doesn't vibe, or there's something about it, the way that Rinna is positioning this, the glee that we're seeing, the way that she has tried to insert herself into this by, like, fucking with Kathy for months on social media. There's something here that feels pernicious, which is why I think that there is absolutely a high probability that Kathy could come back as a friend of, and potentially a probability that Kathy could come back and not necessarily insist that Rinna is gone.
Paris is always a good idea. And when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French Bravoholic for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions. Just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine.
For sure. I was actually just going to say that I have been sort of sick of Rinna. And of course, now I feel, I don't know that I don't like her, but I feel excited because I feel like she's Kenya Mooring. She like is like, I'm a great housewife and I'm making the story happen. But I think I think I'm okay keeping her. If I'm allowed to continue to think that she's an asshole and she, like, you know what I mean? Like, if she shows up like this and had showed up like this the whole season, if this truly is the thing that shakes the dynamics of the group, cool. You know, it's like the cast is so bloated though. That is, and I'm not mad at a big cast. It just feels like up until this point, up until there's real tension now between the women of the group, between Erica and Kyle after their blow up, and now between Rinna and Kyle theoretically, because Rinna is driving story between Kyle and her sister, I feel like we've just been watching sort of the same thing on a loop for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I sort of think that there's a version where, I think there's two versions. One is like she doesn't come back and she disappears from like the public eye for like a year. And the other is
meaning Kathy.
Or the other is that she does come back and yeah, that she, whatever, she decides how she wants to come back. I feel like if Kathy said she wanted to be full-time, they would gladly let her be. But I don't know that she would want that because yeah, it's a bigger commitment. But, you know, like, Kathy being like, I'm coming back and I want Kim as a friend so that I have an ally, you know, or like, I know. I mean, I'd scare for Kim's health, honestly. But I don't know. I think that I'm interested now because it finally feels like there's stakes. And the stakes are that whatever they do to fuck with Kathy, because they want to have storyline and they want to save their jobs. As Kathy Hilton shared a post this morning that was about, like, Rinna's doing all of this to save her job at Kathy's expense. I don't think that's incorrect. But the problem, or like the caveat or the casualty rather, is that Kyle is affected by Rinna's antics. Like, this isn't Sutton. So like, it's not an isolated thing where it's like, this is my friend / coworker who I'm awful to. And of course I don't want Rinna to take her down, but like, this is a show. It's like, it's her sister. It's her blood. It's her sort of like out of touch sister who is like being manipulated maybe when she's vulnerable. And yeah, I don't doubt awful. It's being mined for story. And so I think that is interesting. Like, now Kyle has three different examples, like two seasons with Kim and now a season with Kyle, where this person, Kathy. I'm sorry, two seasons yeah, with Kim and then with Kathy,
yeah.
Where her quote unquote very good friend has really like gone for the jugular. It's like, if I'm Kyle, I'm like, fuck off, Rinna. Like, you're not a good friend.
Well, that's the thing, is that I felt that more last week than this week, where I was like still thinking that, but also thinking, okay, I get, based on how everyone else was describing the incident, like I understood more why this needs to be discussed. Of course it does. But there is also that element of like, Kyle feels like she needs a defender and maybe a defender on TV because she doesn't feel like she has that in her sister. She doesn't feel like she's treated as an equal or she's respected or she's valued or she's understood or whatever. So I think there is not like a masochistic part of Kyle, but there is a part of Kyle that's like, finally someone is standing up for me and they're doing it on television. They're doing it on my platform. They're doing it in my world where I feel like I have more power and control. So there is that. But there is also the element of like, Rinna may have short-term memory, but many of us do not. And to think about the fact that a scene is being filmed with Rinna and your older sister, and you know where this is going to go.
And she said, like, go ahead, take her home.
Huh?
You mean when she was when Rinna was the one, I was like, I'll take.
No, I mean in the scene that was going to be filmed and shown on probably the end of next week's episode, or the one following the actual like interaction. I'm thinking in the Caribou Club, shit was going down. Kyle was uncomfortable and probably upset, crying into, you know, Kendall Jenner's 818. Like she needed to be consoled or whatever, or didn't want to participate or whatever. And Kathy left. And maybe Rinna was genuinely, like, LOL, genuinely. But maybe Rinna was the only one or was like, I get it, you're upset, I'm going to take you home. And then whatever happened. But the idea of filming that scene, it gives me shades of Oof, You're So Angry, which does make me very uncomfortable. Because Rinna knew she was going to reference Denise sending cease and desist or whatever and was going to fuck with her. And the idea, it's like very unfair of me to say this, but there is something very, it's so unfair of me to say this. And obviously, we know Kyle is in my top five, but there is something that just like, oh, this is a terrible use of the word, creeps me out that Kyle is participating in this dynamic, which isn't fair, by the way, because like Kathy is the one who behaved poorly in Aspen. Sure. Kathy has herself to blame in many ways also, for Kathy this being signed discussed.
Up for the show, you know what I mean?
And Kathy signed up for the show. And Lord knows, based on the years that Kathy and Kyle and Kim elements and different portions of that didn't speak, signifies that Kathy was aware what was at risk. And Kathy had a meltdown, as many people do, and said crazy things. And like, should she be held accountable for saying that? Yes. But the idea of this scene and Rinna LOL mediating it because she was the witness is fucked up to me, because we know the way that these sisters interact. And it's like, why couldn't the two of them film?
I promise you,
why couldn't it have happened?
Kathy didn't want that to happen and was like, no. Who else can be there? Can Kim come? Can Garcelle be there? Because she didn't want it to be that. But yeah, but there's the problem is that nobody else, allegedly, unless we're bringing production in,
like, was a witness.
Nobody else was a witness. And yeah,
And production was allegedly not there.
I mean,
how could they not mic that house like fucking Big Brother? I can't. It was so small. The also, bunk beds. Also,
I have to think throw that like part of what bed. Kathy was mad about is like, at production, you know, like, so I feel like there's a version where like a producer was like drinking with them too. Like, I don't know. I don't know. It just seems not plausible to me that there was nobody from production like drinking with them at the Caribou Club, that nobody could be like, I'll take her, you know? So like part of me thinks like maybe someone else was in, I don't know. And then they just can't acknowledge it. Cause like, I don't know. I just don't believe that like only the cast went out, you know?
And there is to me a problem with trying to characterize Kathy, and they're all fucked up, they're all complicated, but like equating this with what Erica has done, with what Erica is alleged to do, and saying it's now Kathy's turn and equalizing it and trying to say this is worse is weird to me, and it makes me angry. The work that Erica and Rinna are doing right now, regardless of it being like LOL part of their job, makes me annoyed. I am annoyed by it. It makes me feel like Kathy said shit that was terrible, blah, blah, blah. I want you to die. You're a stupid cunt. Whatever she said, I'm going to drag you. I'm going to own you. I'm going to like put you on like last year's prod and then burn it to the ground. Like whatever she said, I don't disbelieve that she said bad things, but to equate it to everything else is so stupid. And it just makes me nervous for the reunion. I just want to say, like, and with Dorit there saying whatever the fuck she wants to say, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think what's interesting is, like, the way that the women behaved with Denise was sort of like, you're lying, you're lying, you're lying, you're lying. And I think that a lot of folks, a lot of viewers kind of thought maybe Denise was lying, but at a certain point,
if
someone says like no, then like it's not your job to hold that person's feet to the fire. And also like not once, not twice, but like for 10 episodes. So during the You're So Angry scene, it felt like production was turning on her too, because they were acknowledging the cease and desist she had delivered to NBC Universal. Mm. But also it just felt like kicking a man while they are down. It felt like punching down. And that is what the Fox Force, whatever, sort of have done since. Was it Denise? I guess Vanderpump, which felt different because she was at the top of the heap of the show. Denise was never top of the heap of the show. Was she a real movie star opposed to Rinna or Eileen or even Garcelle? Like, yes, Denise like was an A-list, A-minus movie star for a period of time. So like she came in with cachet, but they were punching her down in the universe of the show. She had never reached the status of any of them. She was like on two seasons. And I feel like with Kathy, it's like she is like A-list in Beverly Hills. But on the show, she's like the goofy friend of. She's not like center storyline. So again, it feels like you're watching four people gang up and punch someone down.
Yeah, and also like that is the thing, is that they're towing the line because they're annoyed at her for being able to be successful at being kooky, but they're also saying you're the grand dame of BH. I just want to like say, like, sidebar, I think that Garcelle and Denise are on the same page as far as like career success. My own reactions to when Garcelle joined, I was like, oh my god, I can't believe they got Garcelle.
I feel like she's a huge star, and I feel like she's for sure like a black famous, like is a black A-lister, but I just feel like Denise was a Bond woman and was like married to Charlie Sheen, so like it was just a different level of like mainstream like A-lister. I don't think they felt threatened by Denise, but then like when she was their storyline and she wasn't participating, which, listen, I'm sure it was fucking annoying. And like, I was like, I believe that something happened. But also, she's saying no and you're continuing to go, so now you're just being awful. And I feel like, not that that's necessarily what's happening here with Kathy, but it just does feel like, once again, we're watching these women pair up to like punch someone down. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess we have Garcelle and Sutton hopefully to balance out those dynamics, because it seems like they are in alignment with Kathy post whatever happens, at least the way the sofas allegedly are sat at the reunion.
Yeah. And that's where, I mean, yeah.
I don't know where Crystal falls.
Well,
she was confusing me in this most recent episode, like her behavior being like, Rinna, you're leaving. Was it really that bad? I like wanted her to ask more questions or like get the other way. Like I felt like I was confused by. I wanted her to be more activated about it, since Kathy is like her friend on the show, like in the universe.
I wanted to know her opinion in the moment, because she is, and she seemingly was also IRL friends with Kathy,
and she was at the Caribou Club.
And on the after show, Crystal was like, "Oh, I was so upset." Or maybe she said it on the episode, I forget which, but she was like, oh, I was so upset to even see Rinna leave. I didn't want to see that. I just wanted to like celebrate my birthday. And I'm thinking like, ma'am, this is seemingly a huge moment. We don't want to.
At your event, which I feel like gives you the power to be like, why are you leaving? Tell me what happened.
Which is a fake real birthday. It is a real birthday, but it is a set, like a Hollywood set style birthday party to film for the show. Majority of the guests are your cast members. We want to get more info on why Rinna's sad, but like, what did you even think about Rinna leaving? How much of that was a fuck you to production for allowing Kathy to come back seemingly like nothing happened? And how much of that was Rinna being like, I just don't want to be anywhere near that woman?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm fascinated to know what happens at the reunion. I sort of always set my expectations, I guess maybe for all reunions, but especially for them, that it will be bad, that it will be like disappointing.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, like, I think someone had alluded to on like in the comments somewhere, and I don't know where this is a reference to. They said that Garcelle and Dorit said on Watch What Happens Live that they still didn't know what was said. And like,
what do you mean, in Aspen?
Yeah, like they still don't know what Kathy said. And I don't know if that's...
How is that possible?
I don't know if that's true. I didn't see that. I watched What Happens Live and I don't remember them saying that. But someone was like, they still don't know what was said. So like, that doesn't bode well for what's going to happen at the reunion. And I'm like, get the fucking driver from the Sprinter van to like give a testimony then.
Was it Kevin? Was it the guy from Salt Lake?
Right.
Are they flying him to different states to drive vans for cast members to explode? Like, but also, does it... Okay. This is the thing, and I'm not just saying this because I am like definitely more on Kathy's side than Rinna's in this, and this isn't fair of me to say it, but welcome to Andy's Girls. Like, does it matter what was explicitly said? what, like, genuinely.
Yeah.
The idea that, who was it, Garcelle and Dorit were on Watch What Happens and said, I haven't seen that episode yet, I need to. That they were on Watch What Happens and said, we don't even know what happened. Yeah, sure, of course they didn't. Because it was word vomit. It didn't mean it was the most cruel and cutting and harmful things a person could say about another person that probably Kathy doesn't know, because she was probably out of her body angry. Like, have I done stuff? Have I said stuff like that on Andy's Girls that I don't even fucking remember 5 seconds after? That's probably happened a dozen times over the course of filming this episode. You know, when you're speaking stream of consciousness and there's anger or frustration there or hurt or rage, and also a relationship with your sisters that's kind of fucked, are you going to say a lot of bad stuff? Yes, of course. But why does it matter? Like, what are we trying to get at here? Is Rinna trying to say, Rinna has the right to describe what happened. This is explosive. We should be talking about it. But when it comes to what we haven't seen yet, the to be continued of that scene with Kyle and Kathy and Rinna, and also what Rinna is trying to say on social media, it seems like Rinna is trying to say, to answer my own question, that Kathy is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Why does that matter? Why are we pretending that Kathy is a worse person than Erica Jane? Are we pretending that Kathy is a worse person than all people? Are we pretending it genuinely, though? Are we pretending that Kathy is a worse person than everyone else in the cast? Why does that matter?
I think that they have vested interest in making the audience know that Kathy is not only the kooky character that she is on the show. Like, they have a vested interest in making sure that the goodwill is not all on her side, because I'm sure Kathy, like, contains a multitude, like, and I'm sure there's a Ramona Singer in her. She's a very rich white woman and has been very rich
and
for
famous.
A very long time, with who is famous and then has two very famous, one very, very, very famous daughter. Like, we know that things happened in her relationship with her kids. Like, I just think that the idea that Kathy is some sort of pious, like, goofy comic relief, and only that, like, that she is only so, like, also Sonia Morgan is not only Sonia Morgan, you know, like, there's facets to many people. Like, Sonia is not only the comic relief of a group of women, but that's maybe what we see primarily.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to have a vested interest in making the audience know that this happened, so that the audience will know that Kathy is not that Kathy is not just, like, hunky dory toe. And it's like, it's because they were trying to, and as Kathy reshared that story, and, like, good for her. I hope that Paris is controlling her phone or something. But, like, that she shared that thing that was, like, Rinna is just, like, desperately trying to save her job by taking Kathy down. It's, like, that is what's happening. Like, they all feel threatened by the new women who are scoring well with social media, which is, like, you know, it's, like, we've watched, they are, like, mad that Sutton, they're, like, everyone, every time they're, like, some, Watch What Happens Live, they were, like, asking Dorit, do you think that that you guys bully up on Sutton more than others? And she said no. And Garcelle was like, you kidding me? And she was like, I just think, and, you know, and Sutton, or Garcelle was like, it's been 3 years and it's, like, the same thing. It's like, everyone's always mad at Sutton. And Andy was like, you don't feel like you're harder on her? And Dorit said no. And I just think that they have a vested interest in making sure that those, and I think they like Garcelle the most, but I think that they have a vested interest in those three women, like, not being, like, they're not willing to give over the goods. Like, they don't want them to be the center diamond. And I feel like that they're not on the right side of history, because to me, there's a vested interest in, for sure, Garcelle and Kathy Hilton. You know, it's like, they don't know, and they have to get on the right side. And maybe they will. Maybe they will all fall apart. I feel like there are rumors that they are going to fall apart at the reunion. I don't trust them, because I feel like we've heard it before. I feel like, if anything, Rinna maybe will turn on Kyle, or Kyle will turn on Rinna. So that they, you know.
Well, there have been so many rounds of rumors of, like, what happens and, like, how are the women preparing?
Somebody walks off, their special guests.
Who cares about walk-offs are so bad. Yeah, and Jamie allegedly.
But then there was, like, a blonde. People were saying there was a blonde guest, and they were like, it's Paris Hilton, it's Kim Richards, it's Denise Richards. And I was like, there's no way.
So Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. And then it was, there's Jamie Lee Curtis.
Does allegedly make a cameo. That's like the big surprise, which to me is a very bad indicator for the reunion.
Totally.
We don't need it.
It's a commercial for a movie that's going to also stream on Peacock.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's a movie.
That makes me feel better if they didn't have a choice.
It's a universal property and Jamie Lee's going to make an appearance for a segment.
Damien, that makes me feel so much better. I thought it was a creative choice and I was annoyed. I was like, we don't need this right now. But if it is their own like marketing
Remember last year it was like Kyle running out of her house to get ready for the reunion. Michael Myers was behind her.
So bad.
And then they were like, is that you, Kathy?
Yeah, that was terrible. It makes me nervous for the reunion, but like, what happens if these women don't get it? What happens if they are saying, as Dorit said, we don't treat Sutton more harshly, noting that at that point Dorit had already filmed the reunion? That's not a great indicator.
Totally.
If Dorit hasn't by the end of the reunion understood what so much of the audience feels through the vessel of Andy, that makes me nervous. Unless that is a value asset that she's so blind to it that she doesn't understand, because we don't have like even numbers right now, but we could. Maybe that's something, but it makes me feel like the reunion,
about Dorit, who I kind of have such a soft spot for, but her and Crystal are both not good guests on Watch What Happens Live, because when Andy will play a game like, who's a better friend, Erica or Kyle? And Dorit will be like, oh, I don't know, both of them. And I'm like, that's not the game.
No, play the game.
The game is, or like, it'll be like, I was like, Rinna and Erica. She's like, I don't know. And it's like, who has better style? And she's like, oh, both are in their own way. And it's like, girl, no, that's not how the game works. And also, like, you're not an A-list celebrity. So, like, you have to answer because you are famous for being on this show. So you have to play along with the show that facilitates your show. So it doesn't make me feel great about Dorit if she can't – she needs to have a position. Like, I feel like that is what everybody needs to come in to a reunion with, and especially if you know that, like, you're on the chopping block because your alliance has, like, is fatigue. There's fatigue with your alliance. They need to come in and be like, Kyle and Dorit are against Erica and Rinna, and that, and then we can start a new season knowing the dynamics have shifted. And, like, what does a month and a half or 2 months off look like when we start filming and Dorit and Kyle don't like Erica and Lisa anymore? I'm invested in that, but I'm not invested in Dorit being like, I can understand both sides. And like,
no, we don't have time.
We don't have time. I need Crystal and Dorit. And like, they can come back, but they need to be on friend of contracts and they can earn their diamond. And if they're flops, then they can either get cut out or they can be friends of like Cherie, who had her best episode with signing that card with a highlighter. But like, I feel like it was a total loss to the season. I was like, she seems fun, but like was good in her first episode and was good in this one, but like has basically not been a presence. Like, that's good, I guess. She didn't get a diamond and she didn't earn it. But like, I need Kyle and I need Dorit and Crystal to have a fire lit under their ass to say like, do you want to be on the show? Or do you think that you're entitled to be on this show? Nobody is entitled to a check. Like, get them on that fucking Luann track where she had to earn her fucking...
And came in hot.
She came in hot. She was a great season.
She was one of her best
seasons.
Her
and Sonia both were on Friend of... Or whatever they call it. Like, they were on like
different seasons.
Yeah, it was like, you have to earn your apple.
Right.
And they both did it because they delivered. And I just think that that is what... Yeah, that is what I need. I need to see those types of stakes, whether it's behind the scenes money stakes or whether – I mean, I feel bad that, like, the family stakes are part of it only because it is fair game. But just because Rinna – when you think about all of the times that Rinna has either been on the end of the sofa or been in hot water, it's never been about her business, her husband, her – yeah, her, like, job on Days of Our Lives or whatever.
Her kids,
affairs, rumors. It's always been about Yolanda, Kim and Brandy.
Denise,
Lisa Vanderpump, and Kathy. So that is where I, like, when Erica says, like, the whatever changes, you know, like, it's always somebody's turn. The game always flips on you. Whatever she said.
Yeah.
I think it's a salient point. And, like, I don't think she's wrong. And I think that the show becomes... I have a friend who always said, shout out to Michael, but he always said,
shout out Michael,
that like the show, every season is about the downfall of one woman. That is not entirely untrue when you think about seasons. Like, it's, there's always one person who's in the hot seat answering for whatever, whether it's about rumors, whether it's they're going through a huge life change, whether it's because they are at the center of conflict with many people. And I think that like Lisa Rinna has been on this show for like 8 years and she's been in the center of drama, but never, no one's ever come for her. And like, I would argue the same for Kyle, except that people have come for her sisters and their relationship. You know, like no one's ever, I guess Vanderpump came for her marriage with, and Brandy with the tabloids.
Yeah.
But like no one has ever come for Rinna. The closest we got was Kim and Rinna tried to strangle her and throw a glass at her, which, don't worry, they did not give a trigger warning or, you know, ostracize her the way that they made Monique and, like, Candace. Like, the way that they put those women in, like, and, like, Portia, who also got demoted for a season. But throw a glass, girl. Try to strangle somebody and then call, say they're going to die. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, like, I'm invested in Rinna staying if she's going to show up. But I'm ready for people to say, like, is Kathy going to say, like, I've heard you can be terrible, too, according to your daughter when she went on a public Instagram Live. Like, take, like, all – if everything's on – if my relationship with my sibling and things that I shared with you then when we weren't filming our fair game, then sure. Then, like, stuff that your daughter, who is a model, who has, I'm sure, a few 100,000 followers on Instagram and did a public Instagram about, like, you and your husband – that feels fair game to me then too, girl.
But the problem is that Kathy can't do that because Kathy is incapable of this.
Yeah, but Garcelle and Sutton can.
Which is why Garcelle should have been there. Someone should have been there.
It's weird to me that...
Of course, it wouldn't have happened. Otherwise, it would have been just like a party and event.
Right, because then it would have just been like a conversation and like Garcelle, and then like Rinna would have been like, why are you here?
I think producers wanted a little bit of a Denise 2.0 of that kind of scene, which got a lot of like, ooh, this is giving soap opera, you know, which was a different and kind of in definitely also interesting vibe between the two of them, like giving looks of like, I want to fucking kill you right now. I'm going to do that with Smize. Like... They were trying to sort of replicate that, but it's not necessarily working out. And the problem is that, like, Kyle is going to internalize at a certain point because I think she is shitting her pants a little bit about how this is going to affect her relationship with Kathy IRL, but then also wanting Kathy to feel bad. And Kathy is not capable of responding at a housewife level, let alone Rinna's. She just doesn't have that kind of temperament. She just... If we're going to talk about the ways that people communicate on Watch What Happens,
yeah,
Kathy is not going – because she is a different personality type, she's just not going to do it. She's going to do it when the cameras aren't running. She knows not to do it when they are. Paris, train her. Paris, we know you're liking tweets that are shitting on your aunt, and we support that. Is there a way – I assume that Paris genuinely tried to do her best to prep Kathy for the reunion.
Do you think that Kathy and, I guess, Rick Hilton care enough about public reaction to her on one season of a reality show that has a very fervent fan base but is, you know, is still niche in the mainstream? Do you think they care enough to have her invested in, like, returning to try and clean up her image? Or do they think, like, they probably have an Olivia Pope on it, right? Like, what do you think they think?
Well, if cease and desist are going out based on things that may not have happened when it comes to, like, remarks that we had read that were allegedly said that nobody is talking about, which again, when it comes to conspiracies, the fact that Rinna, who's like desperado to shift the narrative, isn't referencing that says something to me, which I think is a little bit weird.
Meaning that you think that that NBC Universal had to take some things out in order for...
Meaning that maybe Rinna is lying and maybe that people that were leaking stuff about what happened in Aspen, Rinna was willing to say explicitly, you can see the video on my Instagram, that her show's producer was maybe behind the bot attack on Jax, but she's unwilling to be explicit about what we had heard in like tabloid content creator,
whatever stuff. Or she said, like, this is what she said.
No, I'm saying in real time on her Instagram, she's willing to say explosive conspiracy theories, but she's unwilling seemingly to really directly reference what we initially heard, which says to me that, like, I don't know, Kathy Hilton sent those cease and desist, and to me, if that didn't happen and I have a cast member who's maybe leaking stories that part didn't happen, I would be leashing every fucking lawyer. So when it comes to, like, is she coming back to clean up her image, I don't know what image means. Is it image according to your cast members or image according to the greater Bravo audience or image according to media outlets? Like, there are so many different levels of this. Rinna seems to be using image according to content creators and the audience, which leads to press covering what she's saying. For Kathy, I think it is slightly different because LOL, trust your source.
So let's talk about leaking stories and the red bubble.
Have you ever leaked a story before?
No, but I know you have.
I have leaked a story before in Page Six. They did cover
I tried to leak one once, like, to give a tip to, like, Us Weekly, and they were thanks, but no. I think mine was about like Katie Holmes having dinner at American Girl. I mean, I know it was.
I leaked a story once, but it wasn't anything. I just want to say for the record, there were other things happening during my time in college that were being leaked to tabloids, but I was not responsible for any of that. That's literally, I'm just saying that to my...
Reaffirming yourself.
Just saying that out loud. But yeah, I did leak a story about a movie that I was background on, and the producer was a piece of shit.
Well, what do you think of the rumor that Rinna is demanding $2 million to return next season, and people are saying that she leaked that herself so that way if she is not let, like if she does not come back, then she can say, I think it makes perfect sense, but like that she can say like she asked for more money, she knew her worth, and they wouldn't, you know, give it to her.
Yeah, I think she is acknowledging that she's not coming back and she's looking for a way to say that she wasn't fired. That it was like, girl power, I know my worth and you're not going to give it to me because you've already told me that I'm not returning. So I'm going to say it's because you weren't offering me enough money because we're pretending that I'm LeBron James. She's not even the like deflated football.
She is a really great housewife. Tom Brady, something sports. I just think that she got boring because she was not willing to play ball with her own like people that she had been on the show with for too long.
She's making the show bad. Like the ways that the women on Beverly Hills are fucking with an already weird season by their poor shitty behavior on social media that's like not fun or interesting or done. She's done stuff. Diana's like baiting Garcelle and talking about and saying that Garcelle said things that were inappropriate about her pregnancy loss makes me uncomfortable. And it's also, to me, it's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
So, like, there's that. And there's who else is on the fucking show? Erica Jane doing dumb shit. I mean, it is all sort of related to the Fox Force. The only person who doesn't participate in it is Dorit and Kyle from the Fox Force.
So, Andy, someone called in or whatever. Someone, like, a producer asked a question via fan to say, Dorit, do you think it's true that Diana didn't show up to the reunion in person because she had COVID?
Oh, my God. I need to watch this episode.
And Dorit was like, well, that's what you told us. And Andy was like, well, I mean, I'm just the first one to know if, like, you believe it. And she was like, there was, like, never an answer because it was so weird. But it was like, why would they ask Dorit that question? And her response made me laugh because I was like, nobody cares about Diana. Like, they know that she is not coming back. And so she was like, well, that's what you guys told us. And Andy was like, that's okay, yeah. It was very strange.
Didn't Andy go on his radio show, like, the day after the reunion or shortly after and was like, she was very, very sick?
Yeah, he said that she was very sick.
So, LOL for them.
Like, I don't know why they would have asked somebody that if that was what they were told. Then because I think he was like, what did she tell you? And Andrew was like, I don't know, nothing.
It honestly, you know what the thing is? It like doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because now we're in this new world, this new chapter called Let's Fuck with Kathy Hilton. And honestly, it doesn't matter why Diana wasn't there. She wasn't there. She's not going to be a part of the story moving forward, seemingly, obviously, unless Rome has truly burned to the ground,
I hope they do bring up the way that she gave money to, like, quote unquote, gave money to Erica's, the victims of Erica and Tom, whatever, alleged, that, like, she created her own. Like,
I don't want to get into it.
I don't want to talk about it here. I just hope that they talk about it at the reunion. Like, I hope she is called out for that.
She definitely won't be. It was announced the day before the reunion filmed. What will be discussed in the reunion is how fantastic that is. That is the story.
So weird.
You think these women, content creators didn't even deep dive into that until like a solid 24 hours after, or within the same 24 hours, which would have been past that point. It's like there's an expectation here that sometimes these women are going to be inside baseball, that they're just not.
Which is part of what makes them great television, because they're not as savvy as we want them to be. But then other times they prove themselves to be very savvy. So you're like, why can't you do that? You know, I don't know. I want everybody except for Kyle, Garcelle, Sutton to be on pay for, like, whatever it is. Just get paid per episode. Erica actually can come back full time with no caveats. But everybody else I want to, like, have to earn their diamond.
Yeah, why are I don't know if it's like a SAG thing or something. It is weird that, like, the ways that contracts have allegedly, or it's just a different universe, or it's a production company thing, or maybe it's a ratings thing, but the ways that the women on Beverly Hills are seemingly compensated versus other shows, have they ever done a pay per episode for BH? I don't think that they have.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's my understanding is that that's how Friends are paid, right?
Like, yeah, maybe. I don't care about Friends.
But I think that, like, isn't it the idea that you get paid per episode, and it's the idea is that, like, they will determine at some point while filming whether you get a diamond or not.
Yeah.
So that, like, maybe that's how – remember, because, like, maybe Sutton didn't get paid like that because she, even though she was a friend her first season because
– but she was filming like a housewife, but
right. And then the second season, I'm assuming she came back as a friend of because she also wasn't allowed to show her kids that were under 18. But then she was so a part of the drama, she earned herself a diamond, you know?
Mm.
So I think that it's – I think that the like, the money is probably similar because it's in conjunction with the network, not –
That's, I hate this.
I don't know.
I hate it. We didn't talk at all about Atlanta.
I thought it was a
dumb.
I thought it was a good reunion.
I thought it was dumb.
I just think that, like, it feels like whereas the BH with all of the, like, Kathy Kyle stuff and also with all of the women feeling like they're going to get fired, the stakes feel high, even if the first mm-hmm. half of the season felt really bloated. And Atlanta, it just feels like – I do feel like they're, like – it does feel like most of them, like, are real friends and have history. It just feels like there's no stakes.
Yeah, I don't – and when I say dumb, I mean, like, honestly, sort of as a compliment. Like, it was fine. It was good. The cast is great. It's like they look spectacular. I don't – the stuff about Marlo is doing a little bit of a rewrite on her behavior this season. Kenya, I mean, oh God, just – she is in my top five. She is just so fucking good at this. She's so good at this. It makes me almost angry that, like, she's so good, and I wish – we had other housewives on other franchises who are as good as Kenya Moore is at this and as honest as Kenya Moore is at this. I just, like, she's just so good at,
she,
like,
would bring up Rinna's daughter's Instagram live.
She would say, this is fucking bullshit. What are you trying to get at? Kenya Moore would seek and destroy in 30 seconds on Beverly Hills. These women would be quivering. They
I
would
wish
be
that Rinna was
quiver.
On that Ultimate Girls trip with Kenya, because I would have loved to have seen, although that wasn't the energy of that event.
No,
but
it,
like,
wasn't.
I would love to see them interact, because I feel like I want to see great housewives actually housewife together. Like, I want to see Vanderpump, Bethany, Kenya, and Rinna have to, like,
oh my God, I would die.
Right, because, like, everyone there is smart and savvy, even if you don't like them. And I feel like, yeah, I don't know. I guess you can't have everybody be that type of energy, but I do enjoy watching people be good at it. Unless it feels totally false, which sometimes I think it also does. Like, sometimes Kenya's a fucking drag. Like, the bolo night, she was such a fucking loser. I was like, Kenya, get on board and have fun.
But this season, she has got on board and had
but
fun.
But it's because Portia's not there as part
and
of it.
She might be coming back.
Yeah, and, like, I'm into Portia coming back because I do think the show is, like, missing energy. But I don't know that I want to watch Portia and Kenya hate each other again.
Yeah, I really like fun Kenya.
Wouldn't it be fun to watch Portia and Kenya, like...
We got that when they both came back and they had babies and they were bonding.
Yeah, but, like, I don't want to watch them gang up on Drew together, like, or Marlo. I want to watch them, like, be mad at Candy for a change. It doesn't need to be the end of their friendship, but I want to watch real dynamics change.
Oh, I would be very into watching Portia and Kenya team up to take on Marlo. Are you kidding me? I would love that for 5 seconds, but
yeah,
I don't
okay.
want that for a season.
Yeah,
I want that for two up. I want that for three to four episodes.
I also want that, like, Potomac energy of, like, passing the ball, which I think that some of the other franchises can't do, which is, like, for the first half of the season, these people are mad at each other, but then they make up, and then they actually make up, and they're like, we were doing a show, and we got over it, and now we're doing something else, and now we have different dynamics. Whereas it's like, we have, like, 3-season-long fucking drags in some of these other cities where people, like, hate each other, and it's like, how much longer can we watch Portia and Kenya hate each other?
What do you think of Sonya?
I love her.
I love her, right?
I think she seems like there's a level of, like, candiness to her for me where, because she's, like, a gold medal Olympian.
Four times. Acknowledge bronze.
And her husband is, like, a former football player who was in the Super Bowl, like, twice. She doesn't need to be on the show the same way that I think, like, Drew Sidor does. I, like, actually, like, adore Drew now. I feel like she's gonna rise into her Dorit phase soon. Remember how Dorit was such a tryhard? And, like, still is, but in a different way. Like, now Dorit has cachet in the group. But when she joined, she had the accent, her looks, like, her and PK and their money were all questionable, and she was sort of Lisa Vanderpump's proxy.
Mm-hmm.
Drew is, like, such a tryhard, but I feel like she's going to rise to an occasion where we're going to be, like, grateful for those years because she's going to be a great housewife one day.
I don't know.
But anyway, I love Sonya. I think that, like, she doesn't seem like a tryhard. She doesn't need the show. She seems like an established person who's, like, actually real, and I love that. So I feel like she will be better at the show, hopefully, if she stays, which I think everyone's going to stay. I think they're just going to add more people.
And Marlo?
I mean, I think there's value to Marlo because she's been in the franchise and the world so long that, like, there is real relationships there and, like, real history. And I do think she has an interesting backstory. I just think she was like doing the most, but also without her, nothing would have happened. So like, I feel complicated about it because it's like, she was like coming so hard for Candy and Kenya, but also like, I liked watching Candy's like be activated and like have to go to bat with a housewife opposed to just kind of like riding it out. I mean, Candy is valuable to Atlanta because she has cachet at, like in a field that's not housewives. Like Kenya is an all-star housewife, but she's known for housewives. Mm. Candy has like a reputation outside of it. And also she's the only one who has real money there. So like she has, but I also don't want her to just cruise, could be in cruise control. Like I want her to engage in fights. And so like, I liked that Marlo went for her. It just felt like kind of relentless and unprovoked, like the whole
and
time.
And mean. It was always mean.
I mean, I don't mind a little mean. I don't need conflict.
No, but it's not. That's not what Marlo doesn't do. A little mean. Marlo just, like, reinvents mean.
It's just like all was relentless and felt totally unprovoked in every situation, which to me is like a messy housewife. Like, great, cause conflict. Great, come for people, hold people accountable. But there has to be a reason why, you know. And like you can't rewrite it, and it all can't be about your trauma, because we all have trauma and everybody's stuff isn't the same, but it's not an excuse to act like a total asshole at all times for everything.
Yeah, and Marlo is smarter than Rinna, so there's that.
I think Rinna is really smart, but I think she's also like a mega narcissist, so I think it's tricky. And I think that she's really spiraling because I think she is an A-list housewife, but I think she's really spiraling because she's fearful of her job. And I think that she's probably pissed.
Losing it.
Yeah, of losing her job. I think she knows that she like lost the goodwill of the audience, which I think she's probably okay with because she knows it ebbs and flows. But I don't think she doesn't know how to get power back. And I think that, I don't know, maybe she realized that to get power back was to break up her friendships. But I don't know. I just feel like the audience isn't going to be on her side. But maybe you'll come back and have another season.
Do you think that she'll come back? I know we just talked
about this. I kind of feel like maybe she will now that we're watching this play out, because I thought it was weird that she was at the end of the sofa because she really didn't do anything all season.
Mm.
And I know that someone was saying it's like seniority is like maybe the way they did it because of the way that...
What?
Because it's like Kyle and Rin are like the two longest standing housewives in Beverly Hills. And then it's like Erica after that and then Dorit. So like... I don't know.
Very into them doing the tea of learning for the very first time on BH.
But yeah, I kind of do feel like she'll come back now if she's offered to and she accepts. I assume if she's asked to come back, she will, unless she really is going to hold out for $2 million, which feels dumb to me because like Nene and Bethany weren't making $2 million.
There's no way.
Like, I mean, $1 million, I think that was like what Nene made and she was the highest paid at that time. And I think now Candy makes a little less than two.
There is literally no way.
Especially
that will
in this new era of housewives, like nobody is seen as that valuable, especially Lisa Rinna. Like Kyle may be, Lisa Rinna is not.
Right, but also the universe. Lisa Rinna isn't that valuable in the universe. So like for us to pretend that that's happening. She's wild. This episode was too. I'm so thankful that you came to the cloth. I'm so thankful that we did a little chit chat. I know that you have thoughts on New York, so I am going to drag you into a Patreon. Not right now, but soon enough so that we can discuss.
Oh my God, New York.
Oh my God, New York. Damian Bellino, tell the folks about You Might Know Her From, words are fun. It's premiere.
You Might Know Her From is my podcast.
A premiere happened this week.
I co-host with my comedy partner, Ann Rodeman, and we interview actors and non-binary performers who maybe don't like, who have been like doing it for the longest time and maybe haven't always, gotten enough shine. And, you know, just like happenstance, our premiere episode is with Emmy winner Shirley Ruff. So it's like so happy. It's like such a, harmonious premiere because she did just get her due with her Emmy for Abbott Elementary. So you can listen to You Might Know Her From wherever you're listening to this podcast. And check it out. We have lots, a back catalog of over 100 episodes with different actors.
Amazing. And guys, if you love AG... subscribe, do all the stuff that you know. That Patreon episode, hour long, deepest possible dive into all things Richard Sisters, can be found at patreon.com/andysgirls. Number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more. My Instagram is at Dame Galley. Would very much appreciate the follow. Send me your satchels and your thoughts on all things Atlanta, BH, whatever else we've got cooking. We got Salt Lake City on the horizon, which is exciting. Potomac happening very soon. Also exciting. Right. Can't wait. And you're coming back very soon because there is stuff that we didn't discuss that we needed to discuss. And we're going to have some champs, maybe possibly. And I can't wait for it. And Damien, you know I die for you. And I'm so happy that we recorded in person. Thank you so much for schlepping because, like, wasn't it worth it?
100% worth it.
100%. Guys, on that note, die for you. Let us know your thoughts and feels. Happy fall, allegedly, whatever. Oh, happy American
Woman Day.
Businesswoman Day.
American Woman, American created by Kyle Emily Richards.
Shout out to all of my favorite businesswomen in these here United States. And we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.